All right, it's Thinking Out Loud, KBIA 91.3 FM. Tonight we are going to be talking to you about what's going on at the MU Theater Department. Lots happening through the course of the summer. One of them is a play called Dance on Bones. Dr. Dave White is the playwright of that and is here in town for the summer as the playwright in residence. Dave, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Joy Powell is also with us from the theater department, and she is going to be directing Shrek the Musical in July. So welcome to you, Joy.
Thanks.
Joy, let me start with you. I want to real briefly mention before we get into Dance on Bones and Shrek that something that has been done for a while now, I know here at Mizzou, the Comedies in Concert series, and I love the way they do this. It's just sort of hurry up and throw something to together here is sort of the plan. They're going to be doing one tonight, and I realize this show is probably a little bit late for people to get in on that, but they're going to be doing another one, Spark, in just a few weeks, June 19th, or July 3rd, I should say, for Spark over at Studio 4. Talk about Comedies in Concert and how this works, because I love this idea.
Well, it's very exciting. One of the things that I love about it is it sticks with the spirit of introducing new plays into the world, and that is definitely in the DNA of the MU Theater Department, as you'll hear from Dave here in a bit about Dance on Bones. But Comedies in Concert, they pick two plays each summer, and they rehearse everything in one day, and then they perform that evening. So it's all done in one day. In fact, the one that's going to happen tonight is in rehearsal as we speak. And so the director gives all of the direction, and the technicians and the lighting designer are working on what the lighting will be. And so it's really a cool process to know that there's a brand new play being presented and it's all rehearsed and performed in one day.
And those of us who have done community theater know that with the last time I did one at Maplewood, we practiced every day. We rehearsed every day for weeks and weeks, and there was still this little bit of a we're out on the tightrope, man, feel to the whole thing. I'm sure you get that way overboard with this, don't you?
Right. Now, it is a staged reading, so that actors don't have to be memorized, but they definitely have to have character development and understand the story and all of that. So it's an exciting process for sure.
That sounds like fun. And again, Spark is going to be happening on July 3rd. Let's talk about the space. I said Studio 4, and I'll bet a lot of people are not quite sure what Studio 4 is.
Sure. Well, we're very excited about Studio 4. We produced our first show in the spring. It just opened. It's a brand new black box theater, and it is in the old McKee swimming pool, actually.
Yeah, the old McKee gym.
That's where they've built it. And so so it's has seats that can be in varying configurations. It is a really cool space, and we're so pleased to be able to present not only Comedies in Concert, but also Dance on Bones this summer there.
And people who have been around campus anytime in the recent past are aware that the old Arts Annex, where the old Corner Playhouse used to be, is sadly no longer with us. They've torn that building down, and they're doing other things there. Mrs. Helwedge and I have been married 27 years, and one of our first dates was at a show at the Corner Playhouse.
Really?
So fond memories of that place, but for you guys, hopefully bigger and better things coming along in the future, right?
Yes, definitely.
All right. And again, the date for Spark is going to be July 3rd. That's a family show, and with all of this stuff, you can find out more at theater.missouri.edu. Or you can always call 882-PLAY. We're talking about what's happening with MU Theater tonight on Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Dave, let's get on to Dance on Bones. And I've read the material that was sent to me on this. And one of the things we talked about this earlier that I absolutely love is that it talks about riffing off of the jazz scene in St. Petersburg, Russia, and New Orleans. And you mentioned the fact that actually makes a whole lot more sense than it might on its face.
It does. It does. One of the cool things, I actually was on fellowship in St. Petersburg, Russia, studying the Russian jazz scene, and was surprised to discover how vibrant the jazz scene there is. And as I found that jazz in Russia is kind of young again, one of the cool things would be being in clubs until 3 or 4 in the morning, dancing in sold out rooms with people in their late teens to early 20s. And to really see people, you know, you'd lean to somebody and go, "This is a Thelonious Monk tune from 1957. And it'd be like, "It's new to me, and all I want to do is hear it." And so as I started seeing those connections of the passion, what I started investigating was, well, why these two places? And what I figured out was that, like New Orleans, St. Petersburg is built in a swamp. It's below sea level. It has similar problems with flooding and not necessarily hurricanes, but storms coming in off the North Sea in the Gulf of Finland. It is a cultural melting pot for Russia, with people coming in from Scandinavia, various countries coming to live there. And it's also really considered the heart of jazz in their country. In the same way, I would say New Orleans is the heart of jazz in our country. I think if you want to have commercial success in jazz, you probably go to New York. In Russia, you'd go to Moscow. But if you want to play jazz and really be in with the feel of it and what's going on, St. Petersburg is really the heart and soul of jazz in Russia.
Jazz is very intrinsic to the spirit of what makes New Orleans, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the same thing's going on with St. Petersburg.
Very much so. Very much so. And in the summertime, there's jazz festivals with white nights that go all night long. And, you know, even the Russians agree that jazz sounds best between midnight and sunup.
Yes.
And so when the sun doesn't set until 5 in the morning, there's a lot of great time to hear jazz.
We have talked with a lot of people on this show over the years about the ties between music and society, culture, politics, whatever it might be. We had an author on last year who wrote a book about Berlin, East and West Berlin, in the days of the final days of the wall, and the music scene there, and punk rock and Bowie's time there, and how much it influenced Bowie really for the rest of his life. It's really interesting stuff. And the story you've got here is kind of along the same ways, about not just jazz music, but it playing a real important role in the whole society that you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I think that jazz, especially in Russia, it was in the early years when there was still the Soviet Union, was very much seen as dangerous. And music was exceedingly valuable. And I'm interested in that idea because I think arts in our country are often seen of as extracurricular. And there, arts was this lifeline. And to the extent that when they didn't have enough vinyl, they'd go to hospitals and take used X-ray slides and carve American recordings into the X-rays so they could roll them up and put them in their pocket and no one would know you had American music on you.
Oh, wow.
And so these ideas of these X-ray records and how valuable and important music was. And when I was there, I was sitting across a dining room table from a very world-famous trumpet player named Slava Givoronsky is his name. And if you look him up, he's been playing for 40 or 50 years in Russia. And I said to him, "What do you hear in this music? What do you hear in American jazz? What does this music that came out of African-American roots speak to you here in Russia?" And he leaned across his table and looked me dead in the eye, and he said, "You do know we were all slaves, right?" And suddenly communism and the Soviet Union and all of these things were really put into a fresh relief in my eyes.
Sure.
As to what they heard in the spirit of American music was the freedom of conversation, the ability to get on stage and have artists talk to each other through their instruments and not be able to be censored. Because you can't censor it if it doesn't have words.
Sure.
And you could play your passions out and you could play these things out. And so I took a lot of that information, this idea of music being valuable to the human spirit, valuable enough to go to prison for, valuable enough to go to exile for, which I can tell you many stories of Russian musicians having been banished because they were playing American music.
Yeah.
And what happens then if you take that and start melding that with climate change, with what does face these cities that are the heart of jazz in both of our countries? And how does music help people get through the times when we don't really know what to do? I think we're facing culturally some questions that are maybe bigger than questions that we've ever faced in terms of how we confront climate change, how we confront all of these notions. And for some reason, jazz has gotten people through really, really challenging times. And it seemed like even in the darkest of times, to be able to show up and hear a horn player bare their soul somehow makes that conversation and that struggle more empowering, not just more palatable, but wow, this gives me strength to get through this. And so Dance on Bones is an imagining of a city that might not be Russia, might not be the United States. And as we think about our problems becoming maybe bigger than national borders, and I think that potentially climate change or global warming is bigger than one country. What is it that might unite people? What is it that brings people together? And I think that's the spirit of collaboration, the spirit of conversation, people getting together and making art together. And so Dance on Bones is a piece that talks about a city where a young horn player named Gavri might actually be the key to actually saving humanity within this city that is overrun with advertising, overrun with flight of the wealthy to get away from the problems that they can afford to escape from. And the cool thing about it is that it's all steeped in improvisation. So we have nine actors and musicians that are telling stories, playing music the whole time. But the improvisation is that the audience actually gets to pick the order that the play is told in every night.
Okay.
So the whole thing is created in conversation with the audience so that everybody in the room has a role to play in how this story evolves.
It sounds like jazz.
It's jazz.
It's different every time and...
It is. In fact, I had an actor. So the play has been done. It was done in a Festival of American Culture in Uzbekistan and has been done in Boston in a few different places. And I had an actor in Uzbekistan come and was like, this play isn't just about jazz. This play is jazz. And in fact, it doesn't say on the title, it doesn't say Dance on Bones, a play. It says Dance on Bones, a libretto for jazz musicians and actors. And it really is just the book by which I hope these actors and these musicians build this world for an audience off of. So it really is jazz.
Dave White is our guest. He's going to be playwright in residence for the summer rep here at the University of Missouri. Dance on Bones will be performed June 27th through July 1st. Also at Studio 4 in the old McKee Gymnasium on the MU campus, very near the student Memorial Union, if you're familiar a little bit with the campus there. I want to hear more about what your summer is about. Playwright in residence. You're not just here for whatever that is, 4 days, 5 days to do the performance and direct it. You're going to be here for the summer.
I am.
Tell me about that. What you're doing?
Well, it's been really nice. I actually just came here straight from doing a playwriting workshop with 50 sixth graders as part of the Columbia Public Schools Honors Summer School Program. I've been doing playwriting workshops. I did one with the Missouri Scholars Academy for the scholars that are gathered from around Missouri. I've got another one later where I'm going back to do work with eighth graders in the Honors Program. So really my goal is to get out and about and make sure that people of all ages know that playwriting is a great way to bring people together, a great way to get your ideas out there. I have another piece of mine that we may be reading later in the summer. And so just really being able to kind of keep playwriting alive, work with students of all ages. I'm working with students from the MU program as well that are aspiring writers and kind of giving them that perspective. You know, you hear from a teacher, that's one thing, but to hear it from somebody from somewhere else really coming in and going, hey, this is a different way to work, I think is useful to all of the artists in the area. So I hope to enrich new works both at MU as well as in the Columbia community. So that's really my goal here. And yeah.
That sounds like fun. It's Thinking Out Loud, KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. You can hear this program and past programs in our series. Just go to our website, kbia.org. Click on Programs for Thinking Out Loud. Again, Dance on Bones is going to be performed June 27th through July 1st, 882 Play. To order tickets, or you can go to the website, theater.missouri.edu. We're going to bring Joy Powell in again, and she's going to talk about the other big thing that we're talking about tonight that's happening at the theater. It's going to be happening over at Rheinsberger in July, Shrek the Musical. We've all seen this movie, but doing it on stage is a different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. It starts with the characters that are in That are in the movie that we all know and love. But it really has a more depth to their journey. Shrek is a great show because it's a story about someone who feels like an outcast, and then they find sort of their own tribe and their own group of people and community to which they can belong and be accepted. And that is a story that we feel really strongly about telling. It sort of what Dave was talking about in collaboration with how Dance on Bones has come together. That really is in the DNA of theater, and it is a collaborative effort. It takes everyone to put on a show.
Yes.
And the other thing that we love is it's the theater for young audiences version of Shrek, which means it's a little bit shorter. Each act is 45 minutes, and we will have an intermission. So it's really good for young people to come and experience these stories and experience live theater because it's really geared toward them.
Yeah.
And we have young people in the cast. We have our youngest cast member is 11. And so we've got some people from the community. We've got MU students. We've got other, you know, teenagers that are in, you know, various junior highs and high schools in the community. So it's not just that theater's collaborative, but we're really collaborating with lots of different age groups in this show as well.
OK, I wanted to ask about the crew that you put together for this, because it's, you know, sometimes these are things that are kind of MU centric and you got a lot of MU students. But it sounds like you're going with a wider net for this.
Yes. Definitely. In the summer, we open up our auditions to anyone that is available and wants to audition. And so it's just a really great way, again, for us to connect with that larger Columbia community that is so important.
The MU Summer Rep, this is something that's been happening for a while here.
Yes.
And it's kind of a deal among the what we're talking about culturally in Columbia. I mention this all the time, but we're talking about a city of 120,000 people. There's just so much going on here. It's
right.
Really cool.
Yeah, this is actually our 49th season. And last year it was renamed the Larry D. Clark Summer Repertory Theater because he was a professor at MU in the theater department that started Summer Rep. And so we really wanted to pay homage to that and show our gratitude to mm-hmm. him and his family for their investment and for their vision, really, to summer theater and its value. What's great is that because it's a company of actors and designers and musicians and production team folks, you really have a lot of crossover. So the people that are designing the set and the lights and the sound for Dance on Bones are also doing the same thing for Shrek. We have some actors that are in Dance on Bones that are also in the cast of Shrek. So you really, again, have that company collaborative vibe going on.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Talk a little bit more broadly about what the Summer Rep is. I know there's going to be people that are like, oh, we go every summer. We know all about it. But what's the overall purpose beyond just the two shows we're talking about tonight?
Right. So we've got the Comedies in Concert, which is the brand new play series that we roll out new plays, and then we do a play and a musical each summer. And so the goal is there's lots of things that happy byproducts of that. One is that, again, we connect with Columbia at large. Another is that we give our students experience to perform, to design, to be stage managers and run spotlights and do all of the kinds of things. It's really because we're in a context of educational theater. As Dave and I are both professors, we're teaching as we're working through things. The director of Dance on Bones, Matt Salzberg, is a professor. And we're actually all MU alums. And so we feel really strongly about them coming back and investing in a department that has given us so much. So that experience that the students get, they can take into the academic season, they can take into their classes. And then, of course, when they graduate, they can take into the professional world.
I'm seeing Dave nod a lot in agreement with what you're talking about, about this program. But I'm also thinking back to a few moments ago and the excitement you were showing and talking about getting to talk to these sixth graders about writing plays and getting young people, you know, jazzed up, pardon the expression, about live theater.
Yeah.
tell me how you got fired up about this, Dave. What caught you about live theater that made an impression more than just, wow, that was a fun way to spend 90 minutes. Let's go home and see what's on TV.
Well, I think for me, it is that interaction between audience and performer. And that's performer not just in terms of the actors on stage, but those designs, the way that it all comes together. And when the right costume walks on stage, on the right actor at the right moment, everybody goes, And we have these realizations as a community. And I think you can have that in a movie, but I think that in the movie, that energy that you've just created as an audience doesn't go to that actor and doesn't allow them to give that back to you in some way.
Right.
And so for me, that's the excitement of this. And I think that MU Summer Rep offers that to people of all ages. I mean, the cool thing about this is as a kid, you can come and you can see Shrek. As an adult, you could come and see Dance on Bones a couple of times and see different plays and get to see the power of really what theater does as it changes over time. And MU's great about facilitating that. I mean, not to plug tickets, but for Dance on Bones, we got a 7 p.m. and a 10 p.m. show on June 28th, and we're offering a 2-for-1 ticket offer for the adventurous theater goer who goes, I want to go at 7 and then go back again at 10 and see how this show has changed in a completely different order.
Sure.
And with different music. And I think that MU Summer Rep does a great job of keeping that magic of theater alive for children of all ages. It's
yes.
The kind of theater that I want to go see and I want to engage with. And you know, this is where my theater career started. My first play was done in the Corner Playhouse as a professional playwright. And so this is a place that is really great to have come from, and I think a great place to come back to and
yes.
give back to each and every summer.
Yes. One of my favorite lines in Shrek is, we are different and united. You are us and we are you. And it's at the very end of the play, and the actors are singing to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have that interaction. And it's not just the community that's created when the play is being put together. It's the community that's created when the actors are telling the story to the audience, and the audience is then now part of that story. It's really powerful.
And then you are also, in addition to working with younger kids and junior high and high school kids, obviously part of an academic setting here, and catching people, and we talked to so many people associated with the university in 1,000 different ways, all of us with the same basic deal. We're catching people as young adults, 18, 20, 22 years old, that are really just kind of discovering that line between, I was in a couple of plays in high school and it sure was fun and I'm going to remember that fondly, and now I'm going to go sell real estate or whatever.
Sure.
And people saying, this is how I want to live, man. I don't
right.
want to do something else.
Right.
I want to figure out a way to make this my life.
Yes. And I would say, first of all, both categories of people are important.
Of course, yeah. yeah.
Because someone has to buy the tickets to come and see our shows. Let's
Amen.
Be practical.
Yep.
I am also the managing director of Summer Rep. So, yes, don't be afraid to plug tickets, because we're glad. We really want our community to come out and support. But, yes, you know, I think it's important that we can be the giver of resources to our students, that we can make sure that they understand that there are lots of opportunities when it comes to being a theater maker and an artist.
Yeah.
It's not just acting. There's so much more to it than that. And of course, acting is wonderful, but there are playwrights whose voice can be heard. I may never make it to St. Petersburg, but Dave has been there, and he is going to share that experience through the words that he has written. And so theater can really take us to lots of different places that we may never inhabit without those stories being told. And so as educators, we want to make sure that there's a space for all kinds of students to have a voice and to have a place where they belong.
You look like you were ready to jump in with something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that part of that educational journey is figuring out how these plays reach into our community.
Yes.
And one of the things with Dance on Bones is, well, how do you frame this for the Columbia community? And it's really connecting with the jazz scene. And I've been really enjoying going. I've been going to the jazz night at the Tiger Hotel. We're
That's
partnering
cool.
for a special event on the night of the 28th between shows with Hit Records. So, and they're going to do a jazz listening party between our two show nights, so people can go and have a beer at Ragtag and walk over and then see the second show. And it's like, how do we get the vinyl community? How do we get the jazz community and these all these communities to come together? And I think the way we do that is by being a part of those communities and really being active in our communities, not just as artists saying, come and see what we do, but also going out and seeing what other people are up to, too.
Well, and I love this idea because you've done Dance on Bones in some very different places. You've obviously, as you mentioned, performed it in the old Soviet states. I saw you did a run at Towson State, places that are very different. And it's kind of cool that you get the opportunity to make that a part of the performance.
It is. And, you know, when we did this in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, it was a quartet of American actors from Seattle and an Uzbek jazz quartet, bringing all those Central Asian sounds into their jazz. And so it does, you know, theater creates communities on stage and hopes to build communities off stage. And it's really fun to get to write a play that brings actors and musicians together. And we hope it brings the musicians and community members out to come and see it.
And I can see similarities in the collaborative things, because with jazz, a lot of what gets going on is you do something and I'm going to respond to that in my own way. And theater's the same way. It's very rarely one person going out and doing things all by themselves. What you do is going to affect what I do.
Absolutely. If you're in a scene with someone, what energy they bring to the table, you're going to respond to and then give back to them. So it's a real exchange. And then you have this shared experience that then takes you to the next shared experience, right?
Yeah.
One thing that is really cool talking about the musicians is Derek is a drummer and a musician, and he's a part of the cast of Dance on Bones, but he'll also be playing in the pit orchestra for Shrek.
Outstanding.
And so as a musician, not only is it two gigs, but it's two very different kinds of gigs that then enrich his world, right? And definitely enriches ours. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the important stuff here again. You can get tickets at 882-PLAY, or you can go to theater.missouri.edu. Dance on Bones again at the new Studio 4 space in McKee Gymnasium here on the MU campus. That's going to be happening June 27th through July 1st. And then Shrek the Musical starts July 12th and runs through the 22nd. Tickets are available for both of those if you want to call on the phone or if you want to go to the website. And we certainly encourage you to catch both of these shows as the summer goes along. Dave White, again, the playwright in residence for the summer rep here at Mizzou. Joy Powell, who will be directing Shrek the Musical. This has been fun. Thank you both for coming out.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.